This is the Countdown to Mickey podcast, where we take a new look and deep dive into the things we love at Walt Disney World and Disneyland. This is Michelle.
And this is Steve.
And this is the Countdown to Mickey podcast. Because of the pandemic, we've decided to postpone our next Disney trip for a year. We are typically annual pass holders and go quite a few times a year, so this was a huge change for us.
To help us get over our Disney depression, we decided to do a countdown of our favorite rides and really dive deep into our favorite attractions.
Welcome back to this week's episode. We are down to countdown number 35.
Which is the Autopia ride.
Disneyland Autopia, because actually it's known as Tomorrowland Speedway at Walt Disney World.
Or the Grand Circuit Raceway in Tokyo.
Yeah, or there's something else in Paris. I think it's Autopia in Paris, too. So Disney says, put the pedal to the metal on an unforgettable road trip along a miniature motorway. You have to be 32 inches with an adult or 54 inches without. You cruise the scenic winding roads of this classic attraction in a souped-up coupe. It opened with a park opening on July 17th, 1955.
Yeah, and do you know where the word Autopia comes from?
No, I know that they were going to call it, like, Freeway or something, but then they changed it to Autopia. But I don't know where they came up with that name.
So, in doing my research, I found something very cool, which I didn't know about. It is a portmanteau. And so a portmanteau is from French for coat rack. So Autopia is a portmanteau word. It is a linguistic blend of words. So it's a blend of two words. The first one, automobile, and the second one, utopia.
Oh, very good.
And so I like that portmanteau. I think that's a cool word, a blending of two words. And so automobile utopia, automobile obviously for cars, utopia is the perfect world. So do you, when you think of Autopia, do you think about the perfect world of cars when you ride the ride?
Well, absolutely not. But when I was researching for this ride, I couldn't believe how, like, naive or how little I knew about our history. So, you know, this ride was designed to represent a future multi-lane, limited-access highway, which weren't really even developed yet. Eisenhower didn't even sign the Interstate Highway Legislation until the following year. You know, Walt's dream was to create, like, roads, what, you know, the future would be like. And so it's amazing to me, you know, when I think of Autopia, I think of, like, a rinky-dink car racing ride, but it really was the future back in 1955.
Right. And Autopia, like you said, is one of the original rides at Disneyland. So when Disneyland first opened, this was the future.
This is the only ride in Tomorrowland that's still in operation that started with the opening of the park.
Right. And so when you go back, like you said, to the 50s, this was what they envisioned the future of transportation being.
It's so crazy.
And yeah, so I think it ties in well with our show from last week where we talked about the future of transportation with the People Mover. We talked about the Hyperloop a little bit last week. And we'll probably talk about Tesla a little bit this week as we talk about the future of cars.
Oh, please let Tesla. I just don't want to smell the gas fumes anymore. Did you know I read that the employees actually make 20 cents more an hour if you work Autopia because it's considered a hazardous work environment?
So 20 cents more an hour
for to get lung cancer. Yeah,
for the increased risk of getting lung cancer from the diesel fuels.
I don't think it's worth it. So this attraction was so popular, maybe because it was the ride of the future, that for the first year there was over an hour wait, which for back then was a pretty big deal. So they had to create another Autopia, which they made off of Fantasy.
So two Autopias, what were the differences?
Well, so the Fantasyland, adults weren't allowed to ride. It was just little kids. But actually, that fizzled out pretty quickly. I believe within, like, a couple of years, it was over. And then that's where Small World ended up being.
Interesting. All the way back there.
Mm-hmm. So some interesting things that I read, too. Bob Gurr, the legendary Imagineer, designed the cars, and there was more inspiration, not just the name, but the cars were an inspiration. So Walt was offered pre-made amusement cars, but he declined. He wanted specialty cars, and he opted for inspiration from European sports cars like the Ferrari and the Porsche. And actually, did you see a version of the original cars online?
I did. I think so, yeah.
What did you notice about them?
Didn't they have bumpers on all sides and there was no center track?
Okay, so no. The first original cars had no bumpers whatsoever. There was no guardrails. And, you know, we're going to get to this later as the trivia, but not every American family even had a car. So you got to go to Disneyland, ride a car without bumpers, without guardrails, and basically kids just made it as like a free-for-all, like bumper cars, but they didn't have bumpers. So I wrote all this down. I thought it was hilarious. So they started with Mark version 1. And they were destroyed before just testing Autotopia because there was no bumpers. Then they went through 4 different versions by 1958. They did through the 5th, and the 6th version was in 1964. That's when they installed the center guardrail. They didn't have anything till 1964, and they went through 6 versions of cars. Then the Mark 7s came out in 1967, and they worked till 1999. Much better, but those cars, do you have any idea how much each car would cost? And that's in 1967.
Well, I did look it up. I think it was $5,000 each. Yeah,
$5,000 each, but at least they lasted till 1999. And then there was Mark 8s after that, and in 2000, Disneyland replaced the existing Autotopia track with a much larger one sponsored by Chevron and also had new cars. And then I read that in 2017 it was rethemed again with a new sponsorship of Honda. But I just couldn't believe how many versions of cars and how they started off with no bumpers. People who didn't know how to drive were given these miniature sports car-like cars that they could ride on this track.
Well, I'm sure that was the main draw for the ride. Because imagine if you got to ride Autopia with no guardrails.
That would be awesome.
That would make the ride so much better. And I guarantee you when they were doing whatever version of guest surveys that they had back then.
Yeah.
Everyone said, we do not want a guardrail. Right. I'm sure.
But then they went through all those versions. Right. But, I mean, all I can think of now when I get on the ride is like them telling you a million times, don't crash into people. Don't crash into the person in front of you. Don't crash into the side. Don't crash into the person in front of you.
Right.
But I guess I can see why there was tons of accidents. Apparently, it was like a more of a legal problem too, because people were actually getting hurt without bumpers.
Right. Yeah, I can only imagine. So in terms of the technology, obviously this isn't anything too new, but what questions, I'm curious as a person who's ridden this ride before, what questions do you have about the technology that is used in Autopia?
To be honest, the only thing I really think about is, am I going to die from inhaling all these exhaust fumes?
So let's talk about exhausts. And I think this can bring us into some of the cooler parts of the ride. I think I looked up some articles that people wrote about the updating of Autopia. And obviously the main thing that has been discussed, or at least the rumors, have been that Autopia is going to get an update.
And electric.
It's going to move to electric. And
do you think it'll be Honda, though?
So there were rumors a couple of years ago that Tesla was going to sponsor it. But Tesla doesn't do traditional sponsorships like that. And so there was hopes that Tesla would just flat out do the remake of Autopia for Disney. But that was squashed by Disney. At least Disney released an official statement that said that's not true amongst all of the rumors.
There's so many rumors, yeah.
Right. And so, but I mean,
but do you think there had to have been some truth to it if Disney actually made a statement against it? Because they don't come out and say, oh, that's not true.
Well, I mean, with all the updating of Tomorrowland, like obviously when you ride Autopia today in Tomorrowland, it feels a little outdated. Obviously, they did do an update.
A little outdated.
They did do an update with the Honda branding and with the Honda robot, Asimo, which was actually one of the...
I don't remember seeing that at all. So do you remember seeing it?
I do, just because I've been well aware of Asimo for many years.
Oh, why?
Because Asimo was for a long time considered to be one of the most advanced bipedal robots that had ever been created. And so
I've never heard of it.
It was something I've been following with my engineering classes for a while. They have since been long surpassed in terms of bipedal technology with Boston Dynamics. And so Boston Dynamics now has a robot that can do backflips, that can do parkour, that can basically run through any obstacle course tethered that you can come up with. They have yet to untether it and let it go full-fledged. But yeah, Boston Dynamics is now the leader when it comes to robotics. But for a while, Honda did have one of the more advanced bipedal. And by bipedal, I just mean walking on two legs, which is a lot harder than people think, like in terms of making a robot do it. And so the balancing, the things that we do, we take for granted as humans, is a lot harder to actually execute with robots. And so they had Asimo as a part of the Honda branding, which definitely made it feel a little bit more like tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
They actually had a car from Honda that was supposed to be like a more futuristic version, but it's just on the side. You don't actually ride it.
Oh, okay. And so, I don't even remember anything about the cars.
Right. And so it's not a huge rebranding, obviously, if you don't remember it. But I did notice some of those things. And so yeah, obviously going back to those articles about the remake of Autopia, it's amazing that so many people don't want any sort of update to Autopia. They like the engines. They like the vibration. They like the feedback, I guess, you get from putting on the gas pedal. And some people don't want any sort of update. They just love the ride. I saw a grandparent who took his kids and his grandkids on the ride. And this was obviously the first car that they ever drove. And his grandkids said this was one of their favorite rides because kids love driving. Like, the first time you get to drive a car, it's pretty amazing.
I tell you, so the last time we went to Disney World, we're not talking about that version so much because we like the Disneyland history, but the last time we went to Disney World, our oldest could actually ride the car himself. And you didn't go. We went to an after-hours event. But I think that was the most fun he's ever had on this ride. To be 9 years old and to be able to drive a car completely around the track by yourself. I mean, I remember as a kid that I thought it was pretty cool that I could drive in fourth grade by myself. So I get it. I think 9 to maybe even 14 is probably the best time to ride this ride because you get to drive a car before you actually get to.
Right. Absolutely. And I think, again, they've talked about updates with making it electric, with making it a Tron theme. There's the possibility of making more updates. But there's, again, a very strong, passionate crowd that likes the gas version. And so I think one piece of technology that it helps to understand a little bit, to make the ride a little bit more special, and to talk to your kids about, because as bad as global warming is and as bad as the carbon emissions is from gasoline cars, the gas engine is still one of the most amazing inventions that humanity has ever come up with.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a technology that takes front and center stage on Autopia. And so it's a great chance to talk about, like, well, what's happening when you push that gas pedal? Like, how does it actually propel yourself forward? And so that's a very cool thing to keep in mind. And so some pre-work before you go to Disneyland and you ride Autopia, I highly, highly recommend. There's some amazing visualizations on a website called Animated Engines, and I highly recommend before you go and ride Autopia, you show your kids what a four-stroke engine is doing. And I think this will make their ride experience a lot more fun because they'll realize, oh, wow, that's what's happening when I push the gas pedal. So a four-stroke engine, when you push the gas pedal, obviously, the first thing that happens to make that engine go, do you know what those stages are that it takes?
I know absolutely nothing about this.
So in terms of a four-stroke engine that these cars are running off of, so you push the gas pedal So it's called a four-stroke engine because there's four stages that happen. There's a saying that you can remember this really easily by. It's suck, squeeze, bang, and blow. Those are the four stages that are the layman's terms.
You teach this to your high school students?
I do because...
Oh my gosh, that's terrible!
Suck, squeeze, bang, and blow are kind of the easy terms to remember for intake. So intake is when the engine, basically the cylinder, pulls the gasoline into the cylinder of the engine. The squeeze part, it actually compresses the gasoline down to make it so the third stage, which is the bang, that's the explosion. So you actually ignite that gasoline. So you're lighting that gasoline on fire, basically.
After you compress it?
Right. So you intake a little bit of gas, you squeeze it, you light it on fire, that's the bang, and that explosion moves the piston. And so that movement of the piston is what allows your car, the motor, to move the wheels to move forward. And then obviously the part that you don't like, the smell, that's the blow. That's the exhaust of the engine. Mm. Basically, once you do that explosion, it has to exhaust the fumes from that explosion. And then it does it all over again, over and over and over again. And so there's, I think these engines, depending on how many cylinders it is, I'm guessing, I don't know off the top of my head what these Autopia cars have. I'm guessing it's a V8, maybe? I don't know exactly how strong it is.
V8, they go 7 miles an hour.
Maybe it's less than that. I'm trying to think of how many cylinders it is. Maybe it's V... Let's look it up. Let's see what it is.
Okay. Motor Trend.
So
Motor Trend actually says it's a four-stroke 270cc single cylinder.
Okay, so there's only one cylinder. There's only one cylinder making that four strokes occur. And in bigger cars, obviously, when you can go faster than a few miles per hour.
The V8's like a legit car. This car only needs to go, like I said, 7 miles an hour.
So I was way off. It's only a single cylinder. And it only has 8.5 horsepower. And again, that's a very interesting unit that you can tell your kids about. Like, why the heck are we rating
these? Oh, I called it HP. Horsepower.
Why are we rating these engines after horsepower? Well, the amount of torque that cars could provide was based on
how fast a horse could ride, right?
The original wagons drawn by horses. And so we still have those that measurement for torque of 8.5 horsepower. And so that's going to give you a torque of the engine equivalent to how fast eight and a half horses could pull a car or a wagon ahead of you. And so, again, pretty amazing that we have that technology to be able to move around, even though it's been extremely costly for our climate and global warming.
Yeah, I just think Disney's so forward-thinking when it comes to energy, their solar fields, banning straws, you know, just a lot of things that they do and they care about. I just can't imagine them continuing not to have electric cars in Autotopia.
There was a time in California where the gas prices were ridiculous. I think when it was over like $4 a gallon.
I remember that. Yeah. We lived there then.
Right. So I think when it got that high, that's when they really like legitimately considered moving to electric. But I mean, there's also challenges with electric cars as well. So
right. And upkeep. And I can't imagine what those mini cars would cost.
So the upkeep isn't an issue. So this is, again, what makes electric cars so much better than gas cars. When you have a gas engine, you have to take it in for an oil change every X amount of miles. And so you have to flush the engine. You have to change the oil. The upkeep for an electric car is much cheaper because you don't have that oil.
Are you trying to convince me? Steve has been trying to convince me about getting a Tesla for, I don't know, since Tesla was invented.
No, but there obviously are downsides to an electric vehicle or else they would have done it already. And so the biggest downside is the amount of time you can run an electric car on an electric battery. And so the reason why...
Disney, they need to be working all the time.
Well, so hold on. So Tesla actually just had what they call battery day. Mm-hmm. And so everyone thought Tesla was going to release this new battery that was going to be this revolutionary. Well, so let me take another step back. So Tesla, the reason why Teslas are so popular right now is that Tesla has put all of their research and development, all of their initial funding into developing better battery technology in terms of making better batteries and longer lasting batteries, because that is why electric vehicles lost the battle the car battle back in the early 1900s. So we've had electric technology in automobiles since the early 1900s, but we didn't have the batteries to make it so that these electric cars could actually be worth it. So back in the early 1900s, the batteries could only make an electric car last for like maybe 5 minutes. And so that is why the gas engine ended up winning out, is because the gas engine could last a lot longer on a single tank of gas. And so there's downsides to having electric cars at Autotopia, or at Autopia, and that's because how are you going to charge all of the batteries? So that is one of the big issues that Disney has to figure out. Now, the hope is that, again, Tesla just had their battery day where they did announce some improvements to their battery factory. I think they're going to be building another battery factory in Texas, but they didn't release a new battery. And so how cool would it be for Tesla to say, you know what, we're going to release a new battery that's smaller, that has can last a lot longer on a single charge, and you know what, we're going to test it by putting it into the Autopia ride. So that might be a very cool way for Tesla to kind of help out Disney, or just to spread how cool their technology is, so that the public is aware that, hey, this is like, electric cars are for real. They're not going away. In fact, they're probably going to be replacing gas cars in the near future.
All right, Steve, you're getting closer to convincing me about the electric cars. Slowly but surely.
Now, there's an even bigger evidence that Disney might move to this, and that is what? Disney Hong Kong actually had an electric version of Autopia from 2006 to about 2016. And so,
what happened to it?
So they got rid of it for the new Marvel, I guess when they were putting the new Marvel Land in Disney Hong Kong.
Mm-hmm.
But I watched a video of it, and again, it's, I bet you a lot of people watch it and they say, oh, it's not the same because you don't hear the whirring of the engine. You don't hear that feedback. But the video is pretty awesome. It's just a silent hum. This and you, it's all electric, and there's no diesel fumes. And so they did figure out the battery issue in Disney Hong Kong. I didn't mention.
I can't believe it's already stopped running though.
Well, it must not have been that popular, I guess, since they're putting the Marvel Land over it. Or that was just the real estate that they had, and they had to put the Marvel Land somewhere.
I wonder if they're going to keep, like, one original. Like, will they keep Disneyland Autopia forever? Or will they keep it at Magic Kingdom and then replace it? Because Disneyland is, like, real estate's a hot commodity there.
Right. I mean, the hard part is that it's in Tomorrowland. And so if you have these engines in Tomorrowland, it almost becomes Yesterland.
Yeah, that's like a website with pictures you can look at it on.
So yeah, I think it's, again, cool technology. Definitely have your kids check out animated engines. They don't just have four-stroke engines. They have every type of engine you can imagine. It opens up a world of wonder in terms of how humanity has been able to capitalize on fossil fuels, which, for better or worse, it propelled us through the 1900s, through the industrial age, and gave us the world as we know it today. But we are now going to be living with the consequences of burning so much fossil fuel for so long.
Mm-hmm. So a couple other things, some honorable mentions. So the Magic Kingdom version does have holiday overlay for Christmas. And I heard about it, I think last year was the first year they did it, and they did all these like old-timey Christmas lights that you like drove through, and it sounds awesome. I am so disappointed I won't be able to see it this year, but that is an honorable mention for the Disney World version. And wait times, this is the worst in the afternoon. You can get a fast pass, but for the most part, you don't need it. Just go early or when it starts to get dark. Just don't go at like 2 or 3 o'clock. That seems to be the worst time, but otherwise, it's not that long of a wait.
Yeah, this is, again, one of the rides where I like to ride it as the sun's going down at twilight. So you get a little bit of shade, you get a little bit of respite from the hot weather, and it's a little bit more peaceful when you ride it.
I actually don't care about ever riding this ride, I think because of the fumes. So I actually don't even know how this ended up so high on our list. Maybe it was you.
Well, I think it's a classic. You guys had those memories of riding it when I was little, the first car
I think we made the list right after we got back from our last trip, and I think going with Ben, and he liked it so much, so maybe that's why we did it like that. But I wanted to go over the trivia from last week.
Well, hold on. Before trivia, we also have an update. We mentioned, I think a couple weeks ago, that we were going to be going to Disney World.
And we're not.
And we're not. So we're back.
But not because of the coronavirus.
Right. We're back to our countdown being a legit countdown to the next time we go to Disney. It's a legit
countdown. I'm a little sad, but that's okay. We'll go back one day.
When we get to number one.
When we get to number one. So the trivia for last week was, how fast does Goofy's fly school go?
Well,
what's the max speed? And it's the same as the Matterhorn.
So Autopia goes a max speed of what? 8 miles an hour?
7 miles.
And Goofy, I'm going to guess, goes a max speed of 26 miles an hour.
What? It's 27.
Oh, so close.
Well, that's pretty good. And the trivia for this week is, what percentage of American families owned a car in 1955?
Interesting. What percentage of American families own a
car today? I have that number, too.
Oh, well, tell us that one, and then we'll
figure out. Always trying to get the answer ahead of time. So, but that's all we have for today, and we hope you enjoyed going back in time to learning about Autotopia. I definitely learned some things this week, and we hope you're healthy and safe, and hope to see you next week.
And Elon Musk, if you're listening, let's get some Tesla cars in Autopia. Hope everybody else is doing well. hope you're having a good week.
I know Elon Musk is not listening.
And we will see you next week. As you wish.
As you wish.